Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And, you know, if there's a theme in Romans, it's the gospel. That's pretty much it. And the gospel begins with probably that most uncomfortable part, that basically we're all sinners. And that's where we've been headed, and that's where we still are. Okay, we're not out of that section just yet. But if we're ever going to understand and appreciate the gospel, we need to have an understanding of our sin, of the sinfulness of our own hearts. And when you have people who don't really understand what they've been saved from, then they don't really have an understanding of how precious their salvation is. But when you understand the wickedness of your own heart and the depravity of your own soul, when you understand the fact that you deserve judgment before God, not forgiveness, when you understand that you don't deserve mercy or grace, but and that you don't deserve heaven, but that you deserve hell, when you get that firmly in your mind, then you're ready to understand what a wonderful salvation you have. But if you just got, you know, fire insurance, if you just got, you know, enough religion to get you to heaven, well, I question if there is such a thing. But anyway, if that's what you got, you really don't have much to praise God about and worship God for. So what we want to grasp here is that Paul's writing to Jews and Gentiles. And so this was a big thing in that early years of the church. And the Jews, many of them kind of thought they were it. You ever been around those people that thought they were it? Thought they were God's gift to creation? Well, the Jews kind of believed that, and there's, you know, there's some basis for that, but because they were God's chosen people, and God did some special things in them and through them, and so there's some blessings there. But they had come to rely on just the fact that they were God's people. And they thought that was enough. And folks, it's not enough. It's just not enough. There's a need for us to understand, just as the Jews had to understand, that you know, just because we are the church, just because we're part of God's people today, we still need that personal touch from God. You know, it's not enough that we be gathered here in company together. We need God to touch our heart today. We need God to change us from the inside out. And sometimes, you know, I think we kind of look at it, oh, you know, Pastor, that was such a good message. And I really hope that those people who needed to hear that today, I hope they got that. And of course, none of you have ever said that. But, you know, theoretically, someone might have said that walking out the door. And, you know, the fact is we all need the message of salvation, the message of repentance, the message of forgiveness, the message of humility, the message of seeking God. We all need it. Not one time, not, you know, but again and again and again. To be a Christian is to be a repenter. It doesn't mean that you've repented one time and you're good. You're done. It means that you've repented and turned to Christ for salvation, but now you repent as needed. And we need it. We need it. So, as we look then at Romans chapter 3, Paul has addressed, in the last part of chapter 2, he has talked a little bit about this problem. Notice verse 28. Before we read our text together, just notice verse 28. He says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." Obviously, circumcision is not on our radar today. That's not something that, as Christians, that we practice religiously. But we do have some things that we kind of hang our hat on spiritually. Well, I was baptized in that church down there. I walked the aisle. I prayed the prayer. I joined the church. I'm a member. You know, we've got some things that we kind of hold on to, and we kind of use that as props for our spiritual life. And folks, those are all important things, and I'm not minimizing those, except to say that none of those things ever saved anybody. None of those things ever rescued anybody from hell. Nobody, ever. Ever. So, you know, before you get too proud of, well, I'm this or I'm that or, you know, I've done this, we need to come back to the same truth that God gave to the Jews. Now, of course, they were simply trusting in the fact that they were the children of Abraham. Jesus told some of them, He said, look, God's able to raise up children of Abraham from a rock over here if He wants to. You know, just because you're descended from Abraham doesn't really mean a whole lot. And, you know, here we are sitting in the Southern Baptist Church. Y'all knew this was Southern Baptist, right? It's not that important, but we're Southern Baptist. And there's probably some, I don't know, 16 million Southern Baptists on our church rolls in this nation. Probably, I don't even know the count, but 50,000 plus churches, Southern Baptist churches in our nation. And, you know, we can get all excited about that and how, you know, we're part of something like that. And what does that mean? You know what? It doesn't mean a whole lot. And I'll tell you this, to a lost and dying world out there, it doesn't mean anything. They don't care. And in fact, you know, Miss Anna, I don't even know how many members we've got in our church, but probably 400, 450, somewhere, people on our rolls, okay? And mercy. Some of them, I wouldn't know if they walked through the door. It's always fun when you meet somebody and you say, well, where do you go to church? Oh, I'm a member down there at Branch Baptist Church. Really? Who's the pastor down there anyway? I like to ask that question, you know, just because. But anyway, before we get too excited about, you know, any of that stuff, we just need to back up and notice what Paul says to these folks in the book of Romans, but also to us today. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, speak to our hearts through it this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So, Paul begins this section with a question, and he's kind of anticipating the questions that are going to be raised. And so the first one is, well, if there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, which is the last thing furthest thing from what they had been taught, what they had learned growing up. They always thought, man, being a Jew was, that's the apple of God's eye, and everybody else, well, they're not even, you know, really people. They're more like critters, animals, dogs, with my apologies to all of you dog lovers out there. So what's the benefit then of being a Jew? What good does that do? What profit is there in circumcision? Well, Paul says much in every way. Now, he begins like he's going to give us a whole list of things here. But he really only gives us one. Now, over in chapter 11, he'll give us more of a list of things. So we're going to deal with some of that later. But he says here, chiefly, number one, the main one, verse 2, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Well, so here's what Paul has to say about his brothers, the Jews. Notice a verse in Romans chapter 9, verse 3. Paul writes these words and they have an emotional impact that I think you have to allow yourself to feel a little bit of what he's feeling. He says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Paul says, I could wish that I were accursed from Christ. Literally, what Paul is saying, my brothers, the Jews, are lost. They're lost. And he said, I would literally go to hell if it would help my brothers be saved. I would give my soul. I could wish myself accursed. Literally, Paul is saying, I would go to hell for them if that would help. Well, that is not going to help. It would not make any difference. It would not change anything. But that speaks to Paul's love of the Jewish people. He was a Jew. And so, you know, as we think about the Jews, and there's a lot of folks today who have different ideas about the Jews of today in Israel. I remember a man, another church that I served in that just very flatly said, those people over there in Israel aren't God's people. And God's done with the Israeli nation. He's done with the nation of Israel. No more. That's done. But folks, that's not what the Bible says. There are particular promises and prophecies that have been given that relate to the Jewish people. And you can't say, oh, well, we are the new Israel. Because that's what some folks teach. They say the church is the new Israel. Well, no. God isn't done with the people of Abraham. You know, he gave them some promises and some blessings and some things that started with Abraham, and they haven't quit that, even though, you know, they have strayed many times over the centuries, over the millennia. They have turned away from God, and those people in Israel today, many of them, most of them, don't know Christ. But God's not done with them. And in the end times, what's going to happen? In the end times, God is going to send a revival, an awakening. And I believe that in that time, many Jews are going to be saved. Many Jews. And so, what advantage is there then? Well, Paul says there is much advantage. There's a great advantage, but the primary one is in this one fact that unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God. You're familiar with the oracles of God, right? Okay, it's not a word we use very often today. All right, it's not. But basically, it's the Greek word there is a form of logos. It means word, or typically it was used of a message or of a short message or something that was given. But here's what it's saying, is that unto the Jews were committed the very words of God. How important is that? Unto the Jews were committed the very words of God. You know, I think today we have come so far as a society here in America that we've lost sight of how precious that is and how special that is and how important that is. And we've lost sight of what that really means. And the reality is that we live in a culture that has pretty much taken the Bible out of every part of our public life. I read one of my young friends on Facebook this week posted an article explaining why cohabiting, living with someone before marriage, was really okay. And it grieved my heart. It grieved my heart because I know that what has happened is we have turned away from the Word of God. And we've begun to believe, but you see, my situation's different. I love Him. And He loves me. We really love each other. And that makes it... No, it doesn't make it okay. You know, we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the very words of God. Not because we want to steal all your joy and take away all your fun and keep you from enjoying your life. Make you miserable. Because in some ways, that's kind of what I thought growing up. I thought, man, I don't know about this church thing and Christianity and everything. I mean, it seemed like they just want to take away all your fun and keep you from having a good time. Folks, if anything, the opposite is true. If anything, you will have more fun and more excitement and more joy as a Christian than you ever could as a lost person. Filling your life and your heart with the things of the world. Because in my very limited experience, everything the world has is empty. And it doesn't last. And, it leaves you even hungrier than you were when you started. It leaves you wanting something more and feeling more of a hole within your heart than you had when you started. Well, it was to the Jews that God gave the Word of God. And that is a precious thing. That is a wonderful thing. But here's the problem. Is that the Jews failed to live by those words. You read the story of Josiah. You'll remember the story of Josiah, right? 2 Chronicles 34, I believe it is. One of the things that you see there is that he became king, and then they discovered in the temple, they discovered a copy of the law. And they brought him the copy of the law, and they said, King Josiah, we have discovered in the temple, we've discovered this book. And so they read it. And when King Josiah read it, he was a good king. He was a godly king. When he read it, it says he ripped his clothing. He literally tore his kingly garb. He tore his robe because he was so grieved that they had strayed so far from the Word of God. Folks, to the Jews were given the very words of God. And what did they do with them? They forgot about them. They left their Bible laying there on the counter on the shelf all week long. And it collected dust until in the mad rush for Sunday school, we grabbed it up again. And folks, we're not much different from those ancient people if we're forgetting. We're forgetting. You say, well, had a busy week. I've Been in Vacation Bible School. Yes. Boy, I get that. I understand. It you know, stretches you and pushes you and pulls you. But, oh, listen, how we need to be taking in the very words of God into our heart, our mind. How we need it. How our families need it. How our church family needs it. How our community needs the Word of God. Well, I want to encourage you today. Paul would say to the Jews, well, it's a great advantage to be a Jew because you've been given God's Word. And folks, today, one of the things I think we need to say to Christians is, you know, Christians are no different than lost people in some ways. We're just like them. We go through a lot of the same things. We struggle with a lot of the same issues. Sometimes we have some of the same problems and some of the same failures that they have. And so you might ask, well, what benefit is it then to be a Christian? What advantage is it to be a Christian? Well, it's a great advantage. It's a tremendous advantage because to us is given the Word of God. We have God's Word. We've been given God's Word. I want to encourage you. And some of you are going to, you're going to hear this and you're going to, you know, you're going to be down on yourself and you're going to kick yourself. Well, I failed in this or I failed in that. And I mean, here we are. Have you noticed how far we've progressed in 2016? What month we're in? July. Thank you, Georgia. Which is month number 7, which means we've completed the first 6 months of 2016. That means we are halfway done and now we're over the halfway mark. I mean, some of you, you know, kind of just got used to writing out 2016 and now we're halfway through with it. And some of you had great plans when you started the year to get in your Bibles and read your Bibles and study and learn and grow and become more of a follower of Jesus and be a true disciple of Christ. And that's awesome and that's good. And I want to encourage you in that. But there's some of you going to say, well, I missed, you know, some of my readings and I just quit. I just stopped because I couldn't keep up. Sort of like when you go home and your mom or your wife or maybe your dad puts a wonderful meal in front of you. Okay, maybe it's the waitress. Whatever the case may be, they put this wonderful meal and boy, there's just so much food and that happens again, and it happens again, and again, and again, and again, and after a while, you just can't keep up. And you can't eat it all. And so you just decide, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to stop eating, because I can't eat it all, Shannon. So, just going to stop right there. No more. Okay, most of you know I'm not serious when I say that, and it's a ridiculous example in a way, but yet, folks, when you fail, when you falter, that's not the time to give up and quit. That's the time to turn back to God, which is that thing we talked about a while ago of repenting. You know, it's not some complicated procedure. It's just you turn your heart back to God and say, God, I want You. Lord, I want what You have for me. I want Your life in me and I want Your blessings and I want You. And God, I can't do that by seeking my own way and doing my own thing. And Lord, I've failed and I've messed up in this area or I haven't been able to do this. And I'm sorry about that, Lord, but I just want more of You. I want to encourage you today, no matter where you fail, no matter what you've not done up to your standards or whoever's standards, let it go. Just turn loose of that and embrace the fact that you're right here on July 3rd of 2016. And you can't fix or July 2nd or July 1st or June 30th. You can't go back and you can't undo or you can't change or you can't add to something that didn't get done back then. But you can do something about July 3rd. You can do something. I mean, you're sitting here in church today. Right? Some of you are. Not sure where that leaves the rest of you, but anyway. We just need to come back to the place of saying, "Oh God, Your Word gives me everything that I need." You know, this week we recited the pledges to the American flag, the Christian flag, and to the Bible. And part of the pledge to the Bible, and I don't know how many of those children even know this, but part of it is Scripture that just says, "I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it's right out of Scripture. And, y'all, that's what it is. That's what it is. We had a little excitement last night here in Branch. We had about 4 police cars in our front yard, and they weren't coming for Susie or anything. It was they were looking for an escape prisoner, and some of you have also experienced some of that, and they thought they'd seen him, and maybe they did. I don't know. Anyway, as far as I know, they haven't caught him yet. But I got to thinking about that afterward, and I'd been wanting to go out and kind of work in my garden a little bit. I had some tomato plants I needed to tie up a little better, and they said, "Oh, stay inside, keep your doors locked," and all this stuff. And I thought, well, I'm just gonna, I'll just be in the backyard. It's not a big deal. I went out to the backyard. And I got out there and I decided as a community service, I was looking down through my rows of tomatoes there, and I discovered that probably that guy could have been hiding in the grass growing up in that row. And so I thought, as a community service, I'm going to pull some weeds. Well, look, we have all this stuff happening all around us. And we can get so caught up in all these things that jump out at us to do. But I think there's one important thing that God's given us to really focus on. And that's His Word. His Word is eternal, the Bible says. It is settled forever in the heavens. It is always true. "Thy word is truth," Jesus said in John 17. But He also said to the Jews of His day, He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me. He said to them, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." I want to encourage you this morning. There's a lot of needs in our nation, and there's a lot of needs in our families, but how we need the washing of the water of the Word. Just cleansing. Just washing away all that junk. All that stuff. Well, let me give you one more thought here from this passage. And basically, some people were suggesting that God was unjust in judging people, in part because they said, "Paul, what you're saying is that by looking at people's lives and seeing their sinfulness," I mean, I'll pick on Daniel here for a minute. We get Daniel and we see how big of a sinner he is. And that just makes God's righteousness look even better when it's contrasted. Okay, the contrast. Oh, sinner. Terrible. But then God, He's holy, He's just, He's right, He's good. And what they're saying is God doesn't have the right to judge because He's benefiting from people's sinfulness. That's kind of what this passage is saying. And Paul says, no, that's man's thought. That's man's idea. But that's not right. In fact, Paul says, may it never be. God forbid. No, that's not it at all. God is who He is, regardless of what any man does in response. The Jews, they didn't believe. They didn't trust God. They didn't turn to God. And as a result, they paid a price. They suffered. They went through a lot of things. Well, folks, the same thing is true for us today. But here's the bottom line, is that what you do does not reflect on God. People sometimes say, oh, I'm not going to go to that church. Man, that church is full of hypocrites. Well, it's not full of hypocrites. We've got room for plenty more today. But we've got a number, you know. So, I mean, come on. Really? Who among us doesn't have a little streak of hypocrisy somewhere? I mean, I think we all have some of that somewhere in some way. And because we're human. And we're sinners. And we mess up. And you're going to find hypocrites at the bar and at the grocery store and at the school and at the, you know, are you going to not go to all those places too because of hypocrite? Nah, come on. Do better than that. Come up with something better than that. But no matter what you do or I do, I could be the biggest fraud in the world. I heard this week of a pastor who had been accused of some crime and he committed suicide. It happens. I could be the biggest fraud in the world, but you know what? That does not change the truth of God one bit. It does not change who He is. It does not change what He has done. And one of our failures is that we get our eyes on people. And we look at somebody, and then guess what? That somebody fails. That somebody falters. And we're disillusioned. We're upset. We're discouraged. And I've had people, you know, who've completely dropped out of church because of things like that. Folks, when your eyes are on Christ, you'll never be disappointed. So, no matter what any person does, let that go. It's you know, obviously it's hurtful and I think it's a reminder to us as Christians how important it is to live a holy life. To be consistent, to be the genuine article, to be for real. And we're none of us perfect, but we're called to perfection. And I want to encourage you, though. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, if every man, woman, and child in the entire world is spewing out lies against God, and they are slandering the name of God and the work of God and the person of God and the Word of God. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. There is one who is true, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does. Don't let anybody shake you. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let anybody defeat you and keep you from serving and walking with God and living for Christ in this world, because it's too important. It's too vital. In a moment, we're going to close in prayer. And it may be that today, and there could be some really different responses here this morning. And I want to encourage you that wherever you are in your walk, or wherever you're not, then you start there. But it could be today that God's speaking to you about hypocrisy, about something that you say is true, but it's really not true. You say you're a Christian, but you're really not living like a Christian. Well, I want to encourage you this morning to humble your heart and to open up yourself to Him and acknowledge that failure and ask His forgiveness. If you're a child of God, He has promised that He will forgive you. He has promised that, and He will help you. But you've got to humble yourself and you've got to seek Him. It could be today that you're here and God's spoken to your heart and He's shown you that the reason you're not what you ought to be is that you've never been saved. You know, sometimes we make a big deal out of rededicating your life to Christ, and it's not a word I use very often, but some do, and yet I also feel like that, you know, until we dedicate our life to Christ, we really don't have anything to rededicate. Some of us have never dedicated our life to Christ. And we need to settle that question. We need to get saved and make sure we're saved and go from there. But there may be other things God's spoken to your heart about. Whatever it is, would you answer His call? Would you allow Him to move in your heart this morning? And maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been upset by some Christian, some preacher maybe. I want to encourage you to focus your eyes on Christ this morning. And turn loose of those things. If there's hurt there, I understand that's real. And it's tough. But I want to encourage you this morning to let go of that and give it to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning we just come before You as Your people. And Lord, we know that in many ways we're just like the people around us who are lost. We struggle and we fail still in some ways. But yet, Lord, we also know that our lives have changed and we're not the same person we used to be. So thank You for that, Lord. God, would You help us? Would You help us in those areas where we're struggling, where we're still failing, we're still in need? God, would You come alongside of us right now? Lord, would You minister to our soul, encourage us, strengthen us in our walk with You? And Lord, as we just offer these specific areas that we need You to cleanse us, to change us, Father, would You hear our prayers? Would You meet with us in this moment? And if that's you, folks, I want to encourage you to just go to Him right now. This altar's here. If you need an altar, come to the altar. If you need to make an altar where you are, that's fine. Whatever you need to do, but let's speak to the Lord in this moment. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I want to invite you to open your heart to Christ and to receive Him. Put your faith in Him today. And I'd be glad to help you, pray with you. Maybe there's other things that God just brought to your heart this morning that you need to deal with. Or maybe there's a burden in your heart for a family member or a friend. Maybe there's somebody who's lost that you're just concerned about. Pray for them. Lift them. Father, I just ask, Lord, that You give us freedom to respond to Your Spirit today. That You would move in a sweet way. Touch us, Lord, and draw us to Yourself. Father, we thank You.